Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 24th, 2015. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Folks, something about prayer requests. Now, yes, keep calling me. Leave your phone number, or if I don't answer, you know that routine. But we have something new that we've been doing, and it seems to be very successful, and people like it. You can send me a letter in the United States Postal Service, and give me write out your prayer request, include your address. We'll take it to the Mission Church, and on Sabbath service, when we have our prayer circle, we will anoint it with oil and we will pray over the letter for you and we will return it to you. You can also do that by sending me a letter by email and we will do the same thing. A lot of people like that. And so pray about it. That might be the way that you want to go with prayer requests. Otherwise, you can just simply call me. All right. Now, moving right along, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Our program archives can be found there at prophecyhour.com. It's on the right-hand side, and it says End Time Radio Radio Programs. That's the archive. You click on that. There's also some other places on that website to click, and it'll take you directly to the latest programs. But at branch.podomatic.com, which is where End Time Radio Archives are at, well, it's smartphone-friendly, but it has a couple of apps that you can download so that you can hear the programs. But you can hear the programs without downloading the apps. You can just hit play, or you can download the radio programs without the app. So go over there and check it out. It's real smartphone-friendly, and I hear right now that about 50% or more of the people that listen to radio nowadays are indeed listening from their smartphones. Where has it came? You know, I remember back to the days of transistor radios. You remember those little things? Are any of you remember they were little AM things and mostly came from Japan? Well, anyway, smartphones, I'm not calling them a transistor radio, but we've sure come a long ways, haven't we? Anyway, prayer, and then we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And I pray that you give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth and bless the guest tonight with what comes from him. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight's been on with us many times over the years. He's centered mostly right now on watching Iran and what he thinks will happen soon. He's the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to the End Times. That is a really good book. He sent me a copy of that years ago, and I still cherish that book. I really like it. It's a good point of reference. He also wrote a book called Of the Last Days and a thing called the Watchman Guide series, which includes the Watchman's Guide to the Time of the End, to Revelation, to the Rapture, to the end time repentance and to Daniel's prophecy. He may have, in fact, written some more. I haven't checked lately, but you should check those out. You can find them by simply, I think, going to Amazon or just Google them. If you Google Richard Perry, you can find him real easy. Real easy. Anyway, Richard's been watching Iran very closely, again, I'll say. And he, last night he sent me a headline that says this: Iran has no intention of living up to the nuclear deal. Ayatollah Khomeini says, cancel sanctions or no deal. So let's welcome Richard Perry and see what he has to say about it. Are you there with me, Richard?
Mr. Dan, yeah, I'm here with you.
Yeah, amen. I'm glad to have you on. Anyway, you sent me the headline, and take us into that. What's that about?
Well, I've gotten it now from about three different sources. The latest one says that Iran is apparently pressuring the Obama administration to comply with Khomeini's demand to completely cancel sanctions rather than just suspend them. And, of course, there's another aspect to this, too, which is, you know, he wants these sanctions, these economic sanctions, canceled immediately, you know, when they sign a deal.
Right.
They're supposed to, you know, through the negotiations, as I understand them, they were to be lifted as Iran complied with the agreement. So Khomeini seems to be, well, no, he doesn't seem to be. He is actually introducing a new aspect to the agreement by demanding that the sanctions be canceled before, you know, when the agreement is signed immediately. In other words, not wait until all the various aspects of the compliance are completed.
Right.
Now, you know what I've been saying for years. You know, I believe, and I can see where the Bible indicates that Iran is going to take peace from the earth, and that is, as I see it, the next sign of a biblical prophecy to be fulfilled. Now, I need to be clear. There is no place in Scripture that talks about a nuclear deal or any negotiations between Iran and the United States or other countries. But there are several places in the Bible that indicate that Iran is going to start this second revelation, second seal war. And that's the thing I'm watching for. Everything else is, you know, speculation as to how will that war, you know, start. Because the Bible doesn't tell you how it starts.
Right, but I have a question for you that really needs clarification for some people. For me, it isn't. But, you know, you say, well, you know, there's nothing in the Bible about Iran making a nuclear deal. And so then it turned around, and I had this debate recently with somebody that says, well, that said that, basically, and they were saying so. That the Bible says that everything that's going to happen is going to be told to the prophets. I believe everything has been told, so to speak, but, you know, we're not going to get every little detail. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely. I agree with you. I believe that when Christ said to the disciples, I've told you everything ahead of time, I believe that everything is written in the Bible that we need to rely on. We don't need to wait for somebody else to come along and come up with some new deal for us. Everything is already written, and you can see it and read it for yourself.
Right, absolutely. And so I have a person that's telling me, he said, well, I don't see any war any time in the near future in the Middle East. Let me say a couple of things, and I really want your comments on it. Two things that have bothered me really the most over there in the Middle East are this, and I really want your opinion. It really bothers me that we see Russia moving into Syria and opening several air bases, and now they're doing war games in the Mediterranean. But beyond that, then we look at Europe, and we see all the fences going up in Europe because of all the refugees running everywhere, and I've seen several articles today, which I'm probably going to talk about on my 7 o'clock program, articles today and in the past days that say that it could lead to the next world war, that actually Europe is in a crisis. I think those two are combined. What do you think? What do you have any outlook on those?
Well, there's a lot of things going on. That's for certain. However, my position has been, continues to be, is if Christ said, "I've told you everything ahead of time," and we can read the scripture and see what he has told us, then if he hasn't told us something, then that's not something that we need to be concerned about, because he's told us about things that we need to know so that we can be prepared. I don't, for instance, see ISIS written in Scripture. I don't see the situation in Europe written in Scripture about the time of the end. I do see an Iran war. I see that as the next biblical prophecy to be fulfilled. When that happens, I see an economic crisis that will be started in the United States by the United States creditors, such as China, Russia, and others. Because the Bible indicates that your creditors will wake up and make you tremble, then you become their victim. In other words, when that economic crisis hits the United States following the beginning of the Iran war, then the United States is going to go into something like, I can only see it as being something like a depression.
Right.
And it'll be a very serious economic situation that will probably effectively bring down the strength of the United States economically, which will prevent us from projecting strength the way we have been doing for, the last, number of years, 100 years. So those are the next two things. The war with Iran, that's biblical, and it's, I can identify it for you. My books all talk about it. And then as a result of that, our creditors wake up and make us tremble. In other words, our creditors stop loaning us money, and our dollar would collapse, and the stock market would collapse, and we'd go into great unemployment. We'd end up in a serious depression, not a recession, a depression. We're probably already in a recession, just haven't been reported yet. So that's what's happening. The exciting thing, like these things wouldn't be exciting, but the really big thing for God's people, to me, is the parable of the 10 virgins. I know you and I have talked about that in the past, but apparently this war with Iran and this economic crisis, I think it's those two things combined, end up causing all the households of God, or in other words, all churches that preach the Bible, all right. Bible churches, all Bible fellowships, will wake up at the same time and realize that the time of the end has come. That's, to me, that's the biggest thing, the most important thing.
If they wake up all the same time, are you saying, but will they wake up to revival, or will they wake up and turn away? I mean, what will their reaction be, do you think?
Well,
any thought?
Shock and awe. Shock and awe. In other words, when the war starts and the economic crisis hits, obviously, it's going to change the whole world. I mean, this situation is going to be, it's going to be apocalyptic. But it's only the second seal of Revelation. In other words, there are seven seals we've got to go through, or we've got to get to the seventh seal for the return of Christ. But we've only seen the first seal open, and the second seal is this Iran war, and that's going to trigger an economic crisis. And it will be, there's a REM song that's called "It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine." Well, it's not going to be the end of the world when Iran starts this war, but it's going to be the end of the world as we know it, because the world's going to change economically. It's already changing. We can see it changing politically, militarily. you got Russia and China making alliances with Iran and Syria. You know, Obama's been essentially abandoning the Middle East, abandoning our allies in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And Russia's moving into Syria. And that is going to, you know, the second seal of Revelation, which is the war I'm talking about, is going to be started by Iran. But when Iran starts this war, their allies are going to be involved in this war, like Syria and Lebanon, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and Hamas and the Palestinians. They're all going to attack Israel.
Right.
Now, when that happens, when Syria attacks Israel and Hezbollah attacks Israel, now you find Russia in Syria.
Right.
That's going to complicate things for Israel and for us in defending Israel because Russia is in Syria. You know,
right.
The second seal says the rider on the red horse, which is the leader of Iran, will take peace from the earth. Well, that's more than regional. In other words, it's going to spread all over the place. You know,
right.
With Russia involved, maybe China, Korea, I don't know. Because the Bible doesn't really specify, but it says, take peace from the earth, cause men to kill each other.
Okay, let me throw in a couple of things here. One, what I'm seeing is why these things bothered me, you know, about Russia. You kind of clarified it then. With Russia in there, to me, actually the whole thing, even at ISIS, while they're not pointed to and aimed at directly in the Bible, you know, as being there,
yeah.
Something has to make a catalyst to realign everything to be into that position for, you know, a war against Israel. And I believe that's what's going on, just like Russia.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think when this Iran war starts and there's a lot of, you know, like Syria and Hezbollah, Hamas attacking Israel, I wouldn't be surprised to see ISIS attack Israel. In other words, it's the enemy of my enemy is my friend. All of a sudden, if they start fighting the Jews in Israel, then all the Muslims are going to join in one cause.
Right.
They'll put down their weapons fighting against their, you know, the Shiites and the Sunnis. They'll put their weapons down fighting each other. They'll turn on Israel in a heartbeat.
Right.
And then what you said a minute ago about the whole thing will change and gel, you know, toward the biblical picture is exactly right. I don't know exactly how that's going to play out, but I know that the Bible picture will play out. And following this Iran war, one of the things that will happen fairly soon after that, I'm certain fairly soon, will be an alliance of 10 nations in essentially the old, area of Daniel's prophecy. In other words, probably all the way from Libya to Afghanistan, but it will be something like the revived Babylonian, Medo-Persian, and Greek Empire under Alexander the Great, which all had its center in Iraq.
Right.
In other words, when Alexander finished conquering, he set up his headquarters in Babylon in Iraq.
Right.
So yeah, we're in the time of the end, and once this Iran war starts, the world's going to change in ways that are hard to even imagine, even if you've read the Bible.
Yeah.
But the things that the Bible describes have told us what to be prepared for. Right now, God's people need to be economically prepared. In other words, if you're heavily invested in the stock market, and if you're heavily invested in, you know, cash and U.S. dollars, the dollar will collapse in value, and the stock market will collapse when our creditors wake up and make us tremble. Well, if that's where your wealth and your savings are, you're about to get clobbered. But God's already alerted us to this ahead of time, so his people, if they're aware of this, they can diversify and put their savings in things that are more secure than fiat currencies. Fiat currencies, of course, are currencies of world governments or central banks. They, you know, don't rely on world governments and central banks for your savings.
Right.
And don't, certainly don't rely on the stock market, which is just being propped up by the Fed with low interest rates. I mean, God's people have plenty of opportunity to prepare for this, but only if they know about it. Only if they read about it in the Bible and God shows them what he's
right.
saying. And I can tell you where to look. It's in the prophet Habakkuk, where Habakkuk is talking about the end time Babylonians, which unfortunately is the United States of America.
Right, absolutely. Just for the record, a couple of things I'll throw in. Number one, I just noticed that Yellen is talking about, again, raising the interest rates, which, and two, I noticed an article on CNN that I didn't have time to follow up on. They said, even though the Shemitah is over with, you better watch the stock markets because the stock market is teetering. And then China later this month, and I think within just a few days, is going to call for a new reserve currency than the United States dollar a little later this month, and it may be within the next few days at the UN, and that's about the same timing of the whatever the Pope's going to say something, I think, tomorrow, which I have no idea what he's going to say to UN. I think there's some converging things here. What do you think?
Well, yeah, there are. I mean, I'm not a believer in the Shemitah and the blood moons.
Right.
But that aside, we're in a very precarious position. You know, the Iran war, is the next thing to happen. Everybody should take note of this. The Iran war will happen before the economic crisis. In other words, the economic crisis will be created by our creditors, the people that loan the United States money. But that collapse, the economic collapse, will not happen until the war starts, because Habakkuk is very clear that it's something that we do in that war that really upsets the creditors, that make them wake up and cause us to tremble. So
right.
It's not the economic crisis first and then the war. No, it's the war first, then the economic crisis. But once the war starts, the economic crisis could come very quickly, so you have to be prepared for it ahead of time.
Right. And we're getting ready to go to break in about a minute, but when we come back, I've got a couple things that I want to tell you that back up about how the world would be unsettled by Iran. But why don't you tell the folks how they can find you on the Internet, and then we'll go to break.
Well, there's a lot of ways to, there's a lot of things you could find. I have Facebook, I have a Twitter account, various things. But if you just Google Richard H. Perry, that's Richard H. as in Harry, Perry, P-E-R-R-Y, Richard H. Perry, you'll find my books, you'll find my YouTube videos, you'll find my Facebook, Twitter accounts, anything you want. And by the way, friend me on Facebook, and I'll, and then you can follow me and see what I'm watching and what I'm telling people to pay attention to.
Okay. Well, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more with Richard.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street. Lawrence, Kansas 66851, or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. You know, I know the economy's bad, and a lot of people can't afford to send any money in. And, you know, a lot of people just don't like to donate unless they get something in return. Well, we also have a huge crowd. I find out all the time that, think that, well, their donation doesn't count because, you know, it isn't going to matter because we must be getting rich over here because we're being heard by thousands and thousands of people. So, therefore, we don't really need to donate. And while that's, I'm not downing anybody that thinks in that manner, it's just not the truth. There's less than out of the thousands and thousands of people that do it, there's only a few percent that actually donate towards radio airtime. People don't mind buying things, but you know, we're a ministry that doesn't, sell anything. You know, and you think, well, you know, what about other resources? Well, let's go with that. We are a Messiah's Branch is a ministry church that was started by our family, and Messiah's Branch just has a few what you would call regular people that come to service that are really part of Messiah's Branch. Everybody else is just people that we minister to, and they are the poorest of the poor. And so, in either one of these things, neither one of those can provide the money that we need to run this mission church. And when I say the economy's bad, yeah, I know the economy's bad, probably better than most of you, because why? I'm dealing with people that, you know, that are being hit by this economy. You got people because of Obamacare, they've been forced into part-time jobs and maybe working a couple of them a week, you know, and I know this, man, but we still see success stories out of it, but people are really struggling. And when they're really struggling, they're still looking for other help. They need help, especially from some place that doesn't make them, we don't have any requirements like here, fill out this piece of paper and we'll go down a checklist and see if you fit. No, if we have the way to help you out, and we have the means to do it, then we'll do it. If we don't, we just don't have the money, and we will pray for you. And most of the time, those prayers get answered, you know. But we need money just to stay running. You know, a lot of people, you know, I'm Messianic, and a lot of other Messianic and Hebrew Roots people are all getting ready to rush off and go to the Feast of Tabernacles, which, you know, I don't know. I think we may take off for Tabernacles next week. If so, I have a fill-in guest for you or host for you anyway. But point being is there really, during this, before any feast, there's supposed to be a donation made to the poor. And so I just pray that you folks that are going off to the feast and everything have made a donation to the poor. Doesn't have to be to us, but make it someplace, because that's what the Father requires. In fact, you know, before all the feasts, we do that. And a lot of people, then you go back to that, because of the economy, they don't have enough money to go celebrate the feast and make a donation. Well, I understand that, because they're probably giving locally to their local congregations and things, and we're just, you know, that added donation. But we really do need your help, folks. I guess that's what it boils down to. We really do need your help. We're about $1,500 short this month, and I don't know if we just are. We really need to raise that much money. But something else I need to talk about real quick, and then we'll get our guests back on, is that I have been doing radio on another radio station with somebody presenting the news, and I stopped doing that because I can't, well, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with him, but I do not agree with all of some of the things that their ministry is putting out. So I've decided to no longer do the news on that program. And so if some of you folks have been donating over there, have been sending your donations over there for this ministry, do not send them there because I'm no longer with them. Would you please just send your donation? You can find all our information at prophecyhour.com or call me and I'll tell you how to do it. But folks, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And really, folks, all donations that come from your heart are the ones that the Father notices. But anyway, let's get back with Richard Perry, and here's some more of what he's got to say. Are you still there with us, Richard, or did you leave me at break time?
No, I'm hanging in there, Dan.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, I don't know if you was paying attention, but, you know, I was presenting news on somebody else's program, and, you know, sometimes, even though I don't, people know that I don't agree with him fully, I just can't do it when, you know, they start putting some things out. You know what I'm saying? I have to.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I do. And I think, you know, I mean, the Lord has spoken to me about this very clearly. You know, and he wants people that are truly seeking him and not other agendas. And I, the way I read him in Matthew 15, you know, he was talking to the religious leaders and he said, you know, you worship me in vain. Your worship is rules and traditions taught by men. And when he finished admonishing the religious leaders, he took the people aside. He said, leave them, because if the blind follow the blind, you'll both fall into the pit. It's very important that we try to adhere by seeking the Lord, adhere to sound doctrine on all counts. You know, we have to seek the truth.
Right,
and
right.
When you find it and you can't find fellowship in that, then it's time to leave. It's time to set it aside.
Well, you know, this person, you know, has been my friend for 20 years, you know, but I just, you know, there's just some recent things that, you know, their ministry are talking about that I don't agree with, and so, you know, there's no way to not be. But I love the brother.
I understand.
You know, I still love him, and I pray that his work goes on. You know. Anyway, but let's going off of that. Anyway, what I was going to say, Richard, is that I've been paying attention to some different websites. One is called Breaking News in Israel. Have you ever seen that website?
No.
It's really good, and folks, you should just Google BreakingNewsIsrael.com, and you'll get some really good things, and a lot of it's from a Jewish point of view. But there's been some rabbis, Richard, that have been talking and getting dream visions and things, you know, and they're talking about one of them, in fact, that claims to be, now I'm not saying I agree that he's getting a vision or a visitation by Elijah, but that's what he's saying, okay? But he's predicting a war very, very soon with Iran. Well, that will devastate the area and the world. And then coming off of that,
yeah. Well, I'm saying the same thing, and I see it in Scripture.
Well, right. Amen. But I'm actually, this is backing up what you're saying, Richard. So give me a second. Anyway. And so because of that, then there was some others that came forward and looked into some other ancient writings other than the Bible, and they said that for this time and for that there would also, they agree to be a war coming, and that Persia would be the one that caused it, and they would be a problem for the whole world. So I'm just giving you some other backup from other sources as to what you're saying. Yes, what you say is biblical, but that doesn't mean that there isn't some other confirmations out there. Back to you.
Yeah, well, the biggest confirmation is going to be when this stuff happens, then we'll all know, because that's what God says about his messengers. He says, you know, if what they say doesn't happen, then you don't have to worry about what they say. But if it does happen, then you know that person is from me. And God says, I do what I say. I do, you know. He says, what I say, that is what I'm going to do. And Christ said, I've told you everything. So, That's why I keep relying on Scripture. I don't rely on extra-biblical sources. I don't rely on dreams, visitations. You know, the Lord has spoken to me numerous times, but he's never spoken to me where he didn't back it up and show me in Scripture what he was, what were you showing me. I mean, I've had him say things to me that aren't in Scripture. You know, like one time he said to me very clearly, this was in September of 2009, he said, the red horse symbolizes Iran. I've stirred up the kings of the Medes because my purpose is to destroy Babylon. Well, you know, you can't find that first sentence in the Bible. The second one you can, but it was very clear to me what he meant. It's Iran is going to be, you know, the second seal of Revelation's war, where the rider on the red horse will take peace from the earth and cause men to kill each other. Well, the horse is the military, just like as in Pharaoh and his army. The horse and rider were thrown into the sea. The horse is the military, and the rider is the leader, Pharaoh. But in the case of the second seal of Revelation, the red horse is Iran's military, and the rider on that horse is the supreme leader, Khomeini. And he is the one, unless he dies and somebody replaces him, you know, he's the one that's going to take peace from the earth.
Right, right. I believe that.
Let me just say a couple other things.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to point out a couple other things. You know, I mean, again, that's the key thing. There's going to be an Iran war. That's the next prophecy. But you know, there's a couple things that Khomeini has done recently that's kind of point to him. I mean, Iran's been preparing for war for decades, but just this week, he announced that he's reviving a feared intelligence unit of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, a feared intelligence unit. Now, that is a previous unit that was inactive. Now, the reason if he knew there was going to be a war, then you would activate a group like that because you're going to need to control your population. And so that would be like putting himself on war footing. Another thing that happened besides Russia going into Syria is that Hezbollah, who has been fighting alongside of Assad in Syria for years now, is now pulling out of Syria. And in other words, they're redeploying back into Lebanon, which also means they're redeploying back in a position where they could be offensively stationed against Israel. So in other words, that's another thing that could be an indication of war. Again, these are just things that are happening. I've made this prediction that this Iran war is next and that it's going to happen before Obama leaves office. So, you know, obviously as time clicks along here, the things that have to happen, like the Iran war and the economic crisis and causing all the Bible churches to wake up, you know, pretty much all that's going to happen while Obama's still in office. And we've only got, what, a year and a half or less now of that situation. And there would be a lot of things going on, you know, in a short period of time when this war breaks loose. So God's people need to be prepared. Right now they need to be seeing what God says, not what people are, you know, selling books about. You know, they need to be reading the Bible about the time of the end and reading the prophets about the time of the end and figuring out who this end time Babylon, mystery Babylon the Great is. That is so essential for God's people, especially those people, God's people in this country.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of people say that just in brief, care to tell the people why that you believe that America is Mystery Babylon?
I believe it because I've read every prophecy in the Bible about this end time Babylon. Now, the most familiar or popular to most Christians is chapter 17 and 18 of Revelation. And you know, we know that end time Babylon is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and the harlot, you know, that type of thing, so that kind of language.
Right.
There's two chapters there that talk about mystery of Babylon the Great. Now, it's not ancient Babylon because it's a mystery. Plus, ancient Babylon is in no position to really do anything today.
Yeah.
So if it's ancient Babylon, then we got nothing to worry about. But that's not the case. Now, here's the other thing that's very important if people really want to know who Mystery Babylon the Great is. Revelation talks a lot. Yeah, it gives you two chapters about it. But Isaiah 50 and 51 are almost entirely about end time Babylon. And Babylon is a city and it's a nation, so try not to be confused. Isaiah has several prophecies, Isaiah 13 and 14, Isaiah 47 and 48. Those four chapters in Isaiah all talk about the end time Babylon and the things that happen to Babylon and the things that Babylon, end time Babylon does. We're in the time of the end, and God's people need to be reading His Word and seeing what, and listening to what He says about these things rather than chasing after everybody's imagination these days about, you know, stuff that God hasn't said about the time of the end. He's said plenty about the time of the end, and a lot of it is around this end time Babylon, or the Babylonians, or the daughter of Babylon, you know, and that type of thing. But if you read those chapters, Revelation 17 and 18, Isaiah 50 and 51, Jeremiah 50 and 51, Isaiah 13 and 14, Isaiah 47 and 48, read those, eight chapters and see who God is talking about. It's not that difficult to know. I mean, it's better to read it for yourself than hear it from somebody else and believe it. You know, it's better you hear it from God and believe what He tells you. Unfortunately, today everybody's chasing after somebody else who's, you know, trying to sell a book or something, and they're depending on man and not on God.
Yeah, I agree. They most certainly are. Relying on men. You know, I noticed this when I used to be with I used to help out this one ministry back in the 90s, and they'd have different guests that, you know, and they'd present different books about every month, you know what I'm saying, and they were books on the end time, and you know, one of them would present a scenario, and everybody would, they loved the presentation, they loved the seminar, they went crazy buying the books, but then a month later, they were all back listening to somebody new, and here was a different take on things, you know. And so they were all, okay. And so they all bought that book. And, you know, it was only a few books or months, rather, that I realized that, well, they can't all be right because they're not all saying the same things. And so I quit reading books, basically. And I felt led that that if I was spending that much time on their books, I needed to spend that time on his book. And, I got a lot greater insight. And not saying that I don't, you know a lot of guys, that's what I do, is I interview people that have written books. And, I don't read every book that comes my way, you know what I mean? But, I read excerpts and things out of them, you know, so I can talk intelligently to the guests that, you know, I'm with. But really, people are so, I don't know, their scenarios just aren't, you know, looked at from the right point of view, I guess. Is that the way to say it?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, if somebody isn't pointing you to Scripture and explaining, you know, giving you good exegesis about what they're talking about and why it's pertinent, then they're just, you know, basically blowing smoke or talking out of their own imagination. I mean, you know me, I've written 14 books, but I don't think you've hardly ever heard me, like, recommend one of my books other than I always recommend the Bible. I said, if you want to know what I think about the Bible, yeah, you can read my book. But don't you want to know what God says? And if you want to know what God says, read His Word, not mine. You know, and then you can, once you know what God says, then if somebody else is you know, you thought them out of their own imagination, then you know it. You know, or if they're talking the truth, you know it. I mean, just like when Paul, he says, be like the Bereans, who listen and then check the scripture to see what's true. You know? I mean,
That's a script, and there has something in a nutshell. While, you know, there's a huge amount of people in America that aren't reading their Bibles at all. I mean, it's only a few percent that actually read their Bible, whole Bible, let alone the New Testament. But most Christians, when they come across that scripture, let's do like the Bereans, you know, and search the scriptures. They don't search the scriptures. They search the New Testament, so to speak. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I, you know, in my study, I found over the years, in terms of the study of all of Scripture, if you're spending all your time in the New Testament, then you're not understanding the whole gospel, because I don't believe you really can understand the fullness of the New Testament if you don't understand the First Testament. Because that was what everybody, that's what Christ was talking about, that was Paul was talking about, that's what everybody in the New Testament was speaking about when they were talking about the Scriptures.
Right.
It's like trying to understand the book by the last two chapters without reading the first part of the book. I mean, no, you got to see how God has set this up. Oh, and this is also very important from a prophetic standpoint, a prophecy standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Is there is more Bible prophecy about our future in the Old Testament than there is in the New Testament. In other words, if you want to understand about the end time Babylonians and all the things that are going to happen, you know I'm always referring to Habakkuk, because he's got some key prophecies in there about the Babylonians, and we're, mm-hmm. you know, it's relevant to today, it's relevant to our leader. You know, I believe that, you know, a lot of people think I'm crazy, but I believe that God has identified the current president of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, as and he's identified him in Scripture. And one of the things I am certain of this, that in Habakkuk 2:7 will tell you about who this guy is and what he's going to do and what's going to happen. It's Habakkuk 2:7. There's another prophecy which I often refer to, and that's Jeremiah 50. Now, you'll notice that Jeremiah 50 is talking about the end-time Babylonians. Well, in Jeremiah 50, 31 and 32, it's talking about the leader of the Babylonians, and it says, God says, "See, I am against you, O arrogant one, declares the Lord, Jehovah Almighty, for your day has come. Time for you to be punished. The arrogant one will stumble and fall, and no one will help him up." The word fall there in the Hebrew is a fall, and it generally means to fall down, as slain, like you've been killed. And then there's another one that I ran across recently in Jeremiah 25, 26 to 29. It also talking about the leader of the end time Babylonians. And it says, "Get drunk, fall down, and rise no more," which sounds a lot like it's connected to the other passages. In other words, this is all in the Old Testament.
Right.
And there's more about end-time Babylon in the Old Testament than in Revelation. So people
right.
be advised.
Absolutely.
If you want to know what...
To me, the book of Revelation is just like a summary of everything that, you know, was said by all the different prophets in the scriptures. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Really can't get 100. I mean, Revelation is good, but they're not going to get 100% and really know what it means without studying the scriptures or, you know, the prophets and so on. And he even gives it in the Torah. It talks about the end time, what will happen.
Well, you know, anybody that's read Revelation realizes that it's written in apocalyptic terms. I mean, it's like, wow, that is awesome. You know, and figuring that out without knowing where it's coming from, and that's the Old Testament prophets of Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Habakkuk and Hosea, without knowing the prophets, what they've said about the time of the end. By the way, let me say this about the Old Testament prophets. Daniel talked about the time of the end, but whenever the Old Testament prophets were talking about the time of the end, they were talking about the time that leads up to the day of the Lord. You know, so when you're reading the Old Testament, you see these a lot of references to the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is when it was when Christ returns, when the Messiah returns and establishes his kingdom. So if you see things that are talking about the coming day of the Lord, you know you're reading something about the time of the end.
Right, absolutely.
But you've got to read that stuff to see it, and then you can understand it. You know, let me encourage everybody to read your Bible. Here's what God says about his word. He said, "We have not written you anything you cannot read and understand." That's
Amen.
God's word to God's people. He's saying, what I've written, you can read it and understand. It's written for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm going to have to call this to you. We've ran out of time, Richard. We've had a good time, and you've run out of time. And so got about 30 seconds. Tell them how to find you and say goodbye.
My name is Richard H. Perry. Richard H. Perry. That's all you got to know.
Google it, folks, and you'll find him. And but there is I do always put the link up to lastdaysmystery.com, which is a website. It's got a lot of good links and things on it.
It's actually lastdaysmystery.info.
Oh, dot info. Oh,
my website is dot info. Yeah, but just if you want to find my website, just put in Richard H. Perry into Google, and you'll find all the stuff.
All right. Well, thanks for being on with me, Richard, on short notice, and we'll talk again, I'm sure. Bye-bye and be blessed.
I'm sure we will. Okay, be blessed. Bye.
Well, folks, we got to get out of here. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray about making a donation tonight if you can. You can go online and make that donation, or you can mail a check or money order. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. We must remember there is only one God. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for a repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Then love thy neighbor as thyself. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.